We want to bring some love to the program. Bruce Pritchard, a.k.a. Brother Love, joining the show. Bruce, it's an honor. How you doing?
Well, it's an honor for me. Let me know. I just got to let you know that I love you.
this is an amazing scene.
So, nobody gets that. Nobody gets that I love you.
We appreciate it. That's an honor.
No, come on.
Thank you, Bruce.
So we do a football pick segment on this show, and last year I won, and they had to dress up as wrestlers. We made BT Brother Love. So we got to show you some of those pictures. He had the red face paint and all that stuff.
A little too red, to be honest with you.
No, actually, I saw it.
Oh, you did see it?
Yeah.
I tried, man.
I did. I tried my best. It looked good.
Brother BT! Now, let me just get to this before we get into some stuff here with Bruce. WWE returns to New York January 5th to kick off the new year on Netflix. Tickets for Raw at Barclays are available now. Ticketmaster. This is the second year of Netflix with WWE and their partnership. And obviously, this Saturday, a huge event. John Cena's final match. Saturday night main event. This Saturday, exclusively on Peacock, 8 p.m. Cena versus Gunther in his last match. And some of the biggest stars of tomorrow will take center stage. Undisputed champion Cody Rhodes takes on NXT champion Obafemi. Is that how you say that?
Obafemi, yes.
Obafemi. So let's start with the Cena stuff. How has this been fun for you? Has this been challenging navigating his final year with the company?
All the above. And I got to tell you, it's also been, it's been kind of sad, too, because the last match that he had in San Diego, he wrestled Dominic Mysterio, Survivor Series, and I hugged him after the match. And I said, you know what? I'm sad. I'm sad that we are only going to do this one more time. And he looked at me and said, Bruce, I've only got one more time left in me.
Yeah.
So bless his heart, man. It's been an absolute blast doing it. And I'm just sad that it's coming to an end.
What is the first thing that goes for a wrestler? Because, you know, we talk about more conventional sports every day, obviously, an older hitter. You know, you kind of lose a little bat speed. You got to guess now. Now you're jumping out. Your average, you know, swoons. When a wrestler first starts to lose it, what's the first detectable thing to you as an executive that has seen this for years, decades?
Just more than anything, slowing down. You know, the knees start to go. The body start to go. You have someone like AJ Styles, who never had an injury his entire career. Then all of a sudden, it's oh, wow. I've got an injury. I tore something. And once one thing starts to go, everything else starts to go because it's constant wear and tear. And the reason that these athletes can perform the way they do is conditioning and just callousing their body to take the punishment.
What's the biggest difference, though, from when you were in your heyday as Brother Love, and obviously you've been in the company. I was saying this before. Outside of Vince himself, you would be the guy that I'd like to talk to about the history of the last 40 years of the company, all the car rides, all the stars that you're with, all that you experience. I mean, you have it all. Yeah, good God. So what's the difference from where you were in it back then to where you're in it now with as far as the shape that these guys keep themselves in, the durability, the length of their careers? There's got to be a significant difference.
I often say that if the business had been what it is today then, that I don't think I ever would have trained to get into it. I was an athlete. I wasn't a world-class athlete like the talent that comes through now that are just ungodly phenomenons that can do anything. So the conditioning is different. The athleticism is different. They're just much more in tune with their body. They don't go out and drink every night. They're not doing all kinds of drugs. They take care of themselves. We were out every night, partying every night, but we also did it every night.
Yeah. And you also wrestled every night, too, pretty much.
Yes, we got the LB out of us every single night, day in and day out, twice on Saturday, twice on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, I'm not even sure that I knew this in real time, but I was, and I love wrestling, more of the old school stuff for sure, but one of the things that really drew me in was the interviews. Certainly, you know, I love that, and this is what I do for a living. And really the interviews, whether it's the Body Shop, I mean, there was only one Piper's Pit, the Snake Pit, the Flower Shop, the Mayhem. Like, when you were doing your role there, how much was scripted? How much did you get with your guests before? How did you set up for an angle like that? Because if it falls flat, it's pretty embarrassing, and it never really did for you, but how do you make sure it doesn't?
I controlled it. That was the beauty of it all, in that we didn't have script writers. We didn't have someone come in and, you know, it's terrible to say on the air, but, you know, somebody actually had your had your script, that meant you had a handful of pills. Nowadays, it's a piece of paper with a bunch of words written on it.
Yeah.
Stole that from Steve Austin, credit to Steve. But no, we knew what we had to do. You had a story to tell. Go out and tell me this story, sell some tickets, get some people, get a butt every 18 inches. So we did that by talking the people in. And if there was someone that was not a good talker that couldn't do that, then that was my job to either put the words in their mouths or to make it so that you understood what their point of view was through me.
Meaning you getting thrown around the ring sometimes
whatever,
as well.
Whatever it took. But it was a lot more impromptu. And part of the art of what we did was selling tickets and being able to talk and tap into the emotions of the audience.
BT and Sal on the Fan, Bruce Pritchard in studio with us. Obviously, Edwin Diaz signing with the Dodgers. We'll get much more on that in just a few minutes here. Saturday night's main event this Saturday exclusively on Peacock, 8 p.m., Cena's final match, Cena versus Gunther. Some of the biggest superstars of tomorrow also going to be taking stage. Where do you, Bruce, you've been around forever, where would you rank Cena and his impact on the profession of wrestling?
Well, definitely one of the top five. And I look at John Cena, if you were to...
Top five.
Top five, by God. I'm sticking with it. My top five. But John Cena, if I had 100 of them, John Cena is the prototype I use. When a young talent comes and says, what do I need to do to succeed? I said, John Cena, you need to do the work. You need to find the work. And you need to do it better than anybody else. And don't be afraid of it. So John Cena from day one came in and did everything that needed to be done, found the merchandise guys, found everybody in the company. What do you do? How can I help you? And did it. When he came back, he got in for a photo shoot. It was supposed to be 11:30. He was in the building about 10. Walks around, cable pullers, camera guy setting up, hey, can I help you?
Wow.
Ends up setting up with the camera guy, the lights, for his own shoot. That's the kind of guy you want. First one there, last one to leave.
Yeah, first rate guy.
And he is the ultimate pro.
That's what everybody says. So you started in Houston in the early 70s.
Yes. Well, God, not the early 70s.
I thought it was Stampede in 73, selling the posters 19, and the shirts.
It is.
I did the research. Come on, bro. You got ours.
Come on, man. You didn't have to do that much research to make me sound like an old man.
No,
1973.
Okay, man, but I asked you to set up this question. So that's a lot, six decades of wrestling.
Yes.
What do you think in terms of the characters, the mic work, the ring work, the locker room fun, the fan reaction, and the script writing? That's a lot. But what do you think was the best decade in wrestling?
I have to look at, because I listen to old-timers who will start off a comment with, I'm going to tell you what was wrong with the business, by God. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with the business right now.
Yeah.
By God, back in my day, it was better. We were doing this, we were doing that. There's nothing wrong with the business. And if you truly love it, and I do truly love it, I think that it grows, it changes, it's different. That's all. It's not better or worse. It's just different. I'm enjoying what we're doing right now because we are in a process where we're changing things. We're growing. Every night, man, you see more and more people engaged. You walk down the street, you see all of our merchandise. People, I'm being recognized on the street. And it's a good feeling. I loved it in the 70s. Absolutely loved it in the moment. The 80s were awesome. That I remember. The 90s were good.
Coming out of your haze a little bit in the 90s.
It was a little hazy, man. Yeah, definitely. And then, you know, the 2000s were what they were, kind of a rebuilding period.
Yes.
But right now, when you look at it, man, it is exciting because you see the young pool of talent that we have in Florida, in NXT, in our performance center, that they're just hungry. You look at them and you see these guys that just want to do this so bad. And so for me right now, in the moment right now, I think is probably one of the best times, and I would say number one, because it's looking to the future and seeing what's to come.
BT and Sal on the Fan in studio with Bruce Pritchard, a.k.a. Brother Love. WWE returns to New York January 5th to kick off the new year on Netflix. Tickets for Raw at Barclays are available now at Ticketmaster. We'll get to the Edwin Diaz stuff coming up in just a little bit. How about the show Unreal on Netflix, Bruce? Mm-hmm. For you, I love it. And it takes us behind the scenes into some of what you do as creative and all that stuff. But for an old school mind like yourself, to go from where you were to now everything is being exposed, how do you feel about that?
I hated it at first. I really did. I am, believe it or not, a pretty private person anyway. But to discuss business for the world to see how and why we do the things that we do, that was always the mystery. That was always the untold. And when we did it, it's like, okay, if we do this, we're going to go all in, and we have cameras everywhere. And what happens is you forget you're on camera when you do that, because they're just in your face. There's people shooting over there, people shooting over there, people shooting up there, down there, everywhere. And you let your guard down. And you just, the unreal is very real. It's obviously edited, and it's an entertainment show, and it's a docu-series, I'll call it.
Yep.
But I think it's been fun, and it's given the audience an insight as to this is more than two guys in their underwear wrestling in a ring.
Yeah, Sal turned me on to it, by the way. I haven't seen them all. You're right. It's actually phenomenal.
There's one season out. It's great. Season two, I think, coming at some point.
I love seeing where the guys come behind the curtains. Oh, that stuff great. I can't get enough of. So I want to ask you this here, Bruce. One of my complaints with, say, entertainment Hollywood is that there's not a lot of creative scripts anymore. We're seeing a lot of remakes and just, I think myself, a lot of corny stuff and a lot of bad cinema stuff. Like, I just look, there's a lot of great movies out there. And I wonder what the challenge for you guys is with, I mean, I guess there's an infinite amount of scripts. You could always tweak something where it's just a little different. But how hard is it, the more you do and the more the public wants to consume it, to come out and pump out creative stuff?
Extremely difficult.
Gotta be tough, man.
It is. And after doing it for as many years as I have, it is, you have to surround yourself with young people and let them get out there and be able to, man, I'm 62 years old, but I'm working with kids in their 20s, and to have the faith, the confidence to go with their ideas, to try it, because that's the audience we're trying to reach. We're not trying to reach my audience. We're trying to reach this other audience, new and young. So you just gotta have a little bit of faith. Very difficult. And what we find happening a lot of times is, even with the young crew coming in, you're still doing repeat what you've done before, because what's old is new again. And maybe when you're doing something and you'll get the deep fan, they'll go, well, by God, they did that back in 1994 at the Madison Square Garden, and give you the time, date, and what happened in every sequence of the match. It's like, okay, my kids weren't born until 1999. They don't know. When Rock came back in 2009, my son says, hey, Dad, wow, that's cool. WWE got Dwayne Johnson. Didn't know who the hell Rock was.
Wow.
So the audience is changing.
Yep.
It's just those long-term fans, I think, will always, by God, I want it like it was.
Yeah.
And then if you make a bad decision in creative, then you get ripped apart in the papers by, like, Mushnick and Raceman, two guys who I know you're very familiar with. You like those guys.
Yeah, no.
On the podcast, so I started listening to Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson years ago, and he gives great insight on things, and it was a weird world of connectivity when I hear you ripping Raceman and Mushnick, two guys who are critical of stuff on the station, and he's like, bleep Raisman and bleep Mushnick.
Yeah, those are things that we want to say on the air that we couldn't say all those years, right?
I felt like
it
kind of brought us together, Bruce, a little bit.
Yeah, I love Dave Meltzer in there, too, who is a fiction writer and not a very good fiction writer.
He's all over Dark Side of the Ring and that stuff, Meltzer.
The fact that you can just make things up and print them as if, and if that's the only source of information that your fan base has, that's scary.
Okay, so I love watching the old shoots. I mean, I like it. DiBiase, I'll fire him up. He's not, I don't think he's great on the air, although I loved him when he was actually wrestling and his character. There's so many that you could watch. Honky Tonk Man's out there, a lot of stuff. He's out of his mind. Yep. One of the things that I enjoy the most is when they focus on who is legitimately the toughest guy in the locker room. And almost every answer is Haku. I mean, Haku ripped this guy's eye out. Literally, you know, it's a story.
Yeah.
Haku, Haku, Haku. Who is it now? Like, who is, and I don't mean if you're a black belt, so take those guys out of it. Just a legitimate street fighter. If something went down behind the curtain, kind of like a Haku or Andre back in the day, who is that guy now? Who would it be?
I think, without question, probably Brock Lesnar.
But I'm saying, that's why I say without a fighting black belt background.
Well, yeah.
That's too easy an answer.
Yeah,
Brock Lesnar.
But Brock is just a walking machine. I think when you take Brock out, I'll put Bron Breakker, hell of a football player, hell of a stud, incredible athlete.
Okay.
He's Scott Steiner's son?
He is Rob's.
Rob Steiner.
Rob Rick Steiner, yeah. Rick Steiner.
Oh, Rick Steiner. Rick Steiner. Okay, Steiner. Rick Steiner. I know him as Rick Rob. Steiner. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I knew that. The dog faced gremlin.
Yes.
That one. Okay. Yes.
Yes. He's a tough kid, but we've got Chad Gable. Man, I'll put Chad Gable in there.
All right, so at least there's some names. That's really, I just wanted to hear. Yeah. Like, not everybody's so desensitized. Like, it's, you know, it's not that different. There's still a couple of, legitimate alphas back there.
But you don't want to get
they
the
run the show.
You don't want to just test them that much.
Yeah,
you do.
Yeah.
Some of us have that sick little thing in us that I just got to feel it. How bad is he?
Yeah.
What's your favorite impression that you've done over the years?
You know what? I listened to my open to my podcast the other day, and there was Macho Man. Impression on there. Apparently I did it, but I thought, how did we get Randy to plug my show? And it was, freak out, something to wrestle with, Bruce Pritchard, freak out, thinking.
Oh, it's money. Now, even the fingers are moving as he's doing it. Good job.
But then the easiest one to fall into at all times is the American Dream Dusty Rhodes, baby, because it just kind of flows off of him. I can be Virgil. I can be the Dream everywhere. It's just kind of ever situation. You can figure out how Dream will react.
So good. And one of my favorites, when you did Piper WrestleMania 5, to him. Right? When you were you doing it with Morton Downey right at the time?
Right.
Morton Downey
Jr. Oh, my God. I remember that, of course.
Yeah. You were in the ring for the Brother Love show, and then you were doing the Piper impression. It was just phenomenal as well. So, and I know you were close with all these guys, so it's not just impressing doing the impressions as a fan, but you were actually friends with a lot of these guys.
Yes, and Roddy hated people imitating him.
He did.
But I didn't feel like
a lot of people actually imitated. Like, everybody had a Macho. Everybody really had an impersonation of Piper.
In the day, they liked to do it. And, you know, hello there, son.
Oh, okay.
But,
there you go.
But
okay,
Roddy hated it, and I had to pitch this whole idea to Roddy and do it. He just, Roddy would pet people. It's like, you know, some people, they shake your hand, and hold on, Roddy would pet you. How are you doing, son? I was like, that's a nice little haircut there, fellow. Where'd you get this shirt? That's cute the way you say that. Yeah. Well, you want to do what? Yeah, okay. I'll see you in the ring. And that was it.
Genius, though,
and,
right?
And
genius.
He would just.
He was a genius.
I mean, he about knocked me out the first time we worked together.
What happened? Real fast.
We were just in the ring going back and forth. And again, we had no script writers. Uh-huh. We just did what we did. And we. Purpose of this was me to piss him off, and I did. And I got a right hand that I didn't expect; never saw it coming.
And he was kind of tough. Piper was, you know, he was not a wuss at all.
Yeah.
Right? He was not afraid to throw hands.
He also had the element of surprise that I caught the middle rope. I did not go down. Nice. And I was like, okay, I don't think he liked that one.
Bruce, we could do hours with you.
We
love listening to the podcast. Best of luck moving forward with the WWE. Hopefully we could have you again at some point soon. Bruce Pritchard, WWE returning to New York January 5th to kick off the new year on Netflix. Tickets for Raw at Barclays available now at Ticketmaster. Saturday night, main event this Saturday, exclusively on Peacock, 8 p.m., John Cena's final match. So stay tuned for that. Bruce, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you guys for having me. Anytime.
And by the way, of the two, who's the heel, who's the baby face? You write this stuff. You know the, who's the heel in the room, me or him? Who's the heel? Come on.
Sal's got to be the heel.
Yeah, he's got to be the heel. He's got to be the heel.
Either way, I love you, brother Bruce.
No.
We appreciate you. You're the man.
Great job, Bruce. Great meeting you.